This is George M. Landis speaking on What Saith the Scriptures. We're most happy to again greet you in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will read a few verses of Scripture which tell of an outstanding case of backsliding, as found in the 22nd chapter of Luke's Gospel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both unto prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And then later in the chapter we read, And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him, and said, Thou art also one of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Backsliding is the all too common reproach of many Christians, and one which brings much discredit upon the cause of Christ. It is easy to backslide, for Satan is ever on the alert, seeking to ruin the life, testimony, and service of every one of God's servants. Even those who are most conspicuous in God's work are not exempt from the devil's attacks, as we see in the case of the Apostle Peter. In considering backsliding, we must always distinguish between a backslidden Christian who has fallen to sin and a mere professor of Christianity who falls away from his profession. One cannot backslide or slide back until you have first slid forward. A backslider is a saved person who falls into sin. The mere professor is a person who has never been truly saved. He has never been born again into God's family, hence he naturally gravitates from his empty profession back to the place of his former sin. The Apostle John tells us of such in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. Backsliding is a process which issues in an act. We are shocked on hearing of the breakdown of some prominent Christian, and we wonder how such a person could have committed so terrible a sin. But back of the overt act was a slow and gradual decline. The poison is in the bloodstream long before it breaks out in an ulcer or boil. There is a gradual departure in heart from God. Sinful thoughts are indulged until by constant attrition the bulwarks of the soul's resistance are weakened. And then, when sudden temptation assaults, the walls crumble and the citadel is captured. We need to carefully guard against the first steps in backsliding, steps which often seem so innocent and harmless that they are overlooked. Simon Peter is a classical example of the backslider, and a good model for us to study. One of the evidences of the divine inspiration of the Bible is the fact that it does not attempt to whitewash its characters, but records both the good and the bad concerning them. The good, that we might see what God can produce in the soul, and the bad, that we might be warned to avoid it. Such is not generally the case with human historians and biographers. It is noteworthy that all four of the evangelists record the story of Peter's denial. Therefore, the Holy Spirit must intend that we should give it our most careful study and spiritually profit from Peter's sad experience. In this story, we see something of the awful depths into which a child of God may sink. We also behold the wonders of God's restoring grace. While Simon was in the devil's sin, he was also, as one of the sheep of the Good Shepherd, in the never-failing hand of the Savior. Prior to the denial, the Lord Jesus had said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Let us not be too severe in our judgment, or too hastily condemn Peter and those who followed his sad example. We little dream of how suddenly, or how far we might fall if exposed to sudden temptation, of a kind which appeals to one of our weaknesses. A certain Christian who knew his own limitations was heard to pray, "O Lord, don't allow me to meet any $5,000 temptation." As already suggested, we shall see that Peter's denial was not the result merely of an isolated temptation, but rather the climax of several downward steps, seven in fact. We shall look at these steps, paying particular attention to the first two. For all of us are very prone to take them, and they have a very debilitating effect upon the soul. While the taking of any of them may not lead to a denial of Christ, practically every such denial is preceded by taking these two steps. Peter's first step downward was self-confidence with resultant boasting. In Mark's account of the denial we read, "But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise." Peter was doubtless sincere in his declaration of fealty to Christ, and meant every word he said. The root of his whole failure was self-confidence, rather than confidence in Christ. God has warned us against this danger in 1 Corinthians 10:12. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Again, we are told to have no confidence in the flesh. Self-confidence displays an ignorance of God's word, and of what it says as to our own weaknesses and the corruption of the old nature which each child of God still possesses. Peter did not yet know what Paul later learned about himself. "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." With all of his sincerity, Peter was woefully ignorant of himself. Instead of believing Christ's prediction of his denial, and humbly praying the Lord that he might be delivered from such a terrible sin, Peter's self-confidence issued in vain boasting, and in the comparison of himself with the other disciples, and certainly not to their advantage. Hear his boastful words, "Though all, that is all the other disciples, should be offended, yet will not I be offended." Peter was here confessing himself rather than Christ. Later we learn that Peter failed at what he thought was his strongest point, namely, his loyalty to the Lord. In the French and Indian War, the strong city of Quebec fell when General Wolfe's army, during the night, scaled the steep side of the cliff, the site of the city which was considered impregnable. What self-confidence esteems as the strongest point in the defenses of the soul is that which we too often fail to fortify and neglect to guard. One has well said, "Satan was but an instrument of the divine hand to do for Peter what Peter had failed to do for himself. End of quote. Peter praised himself rather than judging himself before God. The second step in Peter's decline was carelessness. He slept when he should have been watching. Carelessness is the natural result of self-confidence. Being sure of his own strength, Peter felt no need for watching and for seeking strength from God in prayer. How little did he follow the example of his Lord, who, as Son of Man, spent much time in prayer. Peter had said, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee." But he did not go with the Lord in the pathway of supplication. Peter even despised the warning which the Lord had given him, as we read in the beginning and the exhortation in the garden. "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Though forewarned, Peter refused to be forearmed. Failure to avail ourselves of the divinely appointed help for the Christian life, such as Bible study and prayer, lets down the soul's defenses and invites defeat and disaster. Through sleeping, Peter missed a wonderful opportunity for having fellowship with Christ in the darkest hour of his earthly career. Instead, the self-confident disciple was insensible to those sufferings, thereby adding further grief to the man of sorrows. The Lord might have uttered to Peter the prophetic words of Psalm 69:20, "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, and there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." Little did Peter realize how near he was to the fulfillment of the Lord's prediction of denial. The remaining steps were quickly taken. He was rapidly gaining acceleration in his downward course, which, as we shall see, God willing, in our next broadcast, was to end in open denial of his blessed Lord. This is George M. Landis speaking. Please remain tuned for an announcement to follow.